Can you hear me, please? Thank you. Shall we bow down our heads in us, we pray? I think it's a bit loud. Eternal Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word and your son, Jesus Christ. You are God, we are men. We surrender to you this day. Speak to our hearts. Have our mind change and transform as you will. Help us do what you want us to do. Your intentions and purpose for creating us, may it be fulfilled. May this day be a day as never before, as you minister to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage we've just read is from one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, John, who also wrote the book of Revelation. And I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sang. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe also in the resurrection. When we die, we are sleeping, we will resurrect. Even people who die in a plane crash, in a sea or wherever, there is going to be a resurrection. And when you have never been to a place, you can't talk about it. And when you have not experienced something, it's difficult to say about it, to talk about it. Till today, in every court, the best and the highest witness is the person who saw. An eyewitness report is what is accepted as evidence. And this great man, Apostle John, who also wrote the book of Revelation, was disciples of Jesus. And if you note on the board, he said, what we have seen, what we have heard, and even touched, this is what he's trying to proclaim to us. That which was in the beginning. If you look at John chapter 1, the verse 1 and 2, the same, he said, that which was in the beginning. He was with the Father. But he came into mankind, or took the form of a man. And that is what John was trying to talk about. And because he is an eyewitness, it is better to listen to him and understand him and take on board, because you and I have not seen Jesus physically. We have not touched him. We have not heard him speak to us as man, as I'm speaking to you. We hear him through visions. We hear him through the word of God. We hear people preach to us, people witness to us, but we have not had physical contact with Jesus. He did. So it's worth listening to what he's trying to say. And this good friend of ours, he's saying this for a reason, because he's saying he's proclaiming something. What is he proclaiming? He's proclaiming eternal life. Where is this eternal life? Bible says eternal life is in Christ Jesus. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life everlasting, life which has no end. Many people think that when we leave this earthly body, that is the end. It's not true. We are only in a transit quarters here. There is a place to go. Everybody, both the good people and then the bad people, both Christian and non-Christian, there is a place to go. But the point is, we decide where to go. And this time of decision is called the grace period. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man to die once, after that judgment. There is coming a judgment where we will decide where everybody goes. This is why we have the time now to choose. And this apostle of ours, Apostle John, is telling us how to choose. And he's talking about eternal life. So that's the passage we read in 1 John 1, the verse 1 to 4. So my title for this sermon today, or my teaching today, is encounter with the Lord Jesus. Encounter with the Lord Jesus. Many of us have had encounter with Christ. We come to church, we profess Christ, but do we really know him? Do we have a good relationship with him? Why is this man saying this? He is saying that we should know Christ, we should have the eternal life, so that we can have a fellowship with him. If we don't have fellowship with Christ, it means we have fellowship with somebody else or something else. So he's cautioning us, he's warning us that it is worth having a fellowship. If you have never had a conversation between ghosts this morning, I want to read conversation between ghosts for you to hear. And this is about the rich man and then Father Abraham. And it's in John 16, the verse 27. But you may write from verse 19 to 31. John 16, the verse 27. There I read. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Briefly, this is a story of a rich man, Lazarus, and Father Abraham. The rich man was rich on earth and died and went to hell. Lazarus was not rich, but he died and also went to heaven. Father Abraham was rich, died and went to heaven. It is not about how rich the rich man was that led him to hell, but it was because he did not set his life for the Lord Jesus. He did not put his house in order. He did not commit his life to the fellowship of Christ. Abraham was rich, so you will see that it is not about the riches. And not because Lazarus went to heaven, not because he was poor, but because he set his heart on the things of God. So I want to proclaim this morning that hell is real and heaven is also real. There is this conversation between these two people, and the picture I tried to put there, don't be scared about it. I just pick it from the Google and I just want to portray that. The man running in the fire is the rich man. And then at the opposite side, you see Father Abraham and Lazarus. But there's a big gulf or gap in between them. So it's going to be. The people in hell will be able to see the people in heaven, but they cannot cross. But when they are in hell, hell is a place of everlasting torment, everlasting punishment. It's not a place of joy. It's not a place of liberty. It's not a place where somebody can repent. And I want to say this man went there because he did not know the Lord. So John was warning us that it is worth knowing the Lord so as to escape this sort of situation. And this man was trying to plead with Father Abraham that he should permit him so that he should send somebody to his father's house. He has four other brethren, so that he will be able to what? Talk to them. If you read on up to 31, you see the story. He was arguing that his brethren need to hear this so that they may change, they may repent. They wouldn't live the life he led. And Father Abraham was telling him, no, they have the prophets there. They have the preachers there. And if they don't listen to them, even if someone rise from the dead, they will not even listen to them. So this conversation alone should tell us that there are two places that human beings will end up to. The end result is either heaven or hell. But we have the choice to decide now, which is the great spirit. And one way or the other, for us who are not Jewish by birth, the Bible says, the time of the Gentiles. This time that we are in is called the time of the Gentiles. Bible says, God has caused the Israelite, blindness in part has happened to them. We have the choice now to change, to repent, to give our life to Christ, and have a good fellowship with Christ before the gate is shut, and then God himself will tend to deal with his people, Israel. Why am I saying this? You may be here coming to church every Sunday, fellowshipping with us, hearing gospels and sermons from any angle, but you might not have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And this morning, I would like us to make a proper assessment of our own self. Do not let anybody tell you it's you, but assess your life and check if you have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, if you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, if you have committed your life to him and surrendered to him. If you have not, then this is the time to take a different direction. Coming to church, doing good to the church, servicing and doing things may not be enough to get us a place in heaven. And whatever we do, you might be doing good to other people in town, anywhere, charity, but that may not be enough to guarantee a place in heaven. What will guarantee our place in heaven is our commitment to the Lord. If we open our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in, Revelation 3:20 says, the Lord stands at the heart of our, at the door of our heart, knocking. If we allow him in, he will come in and dine with us. So if in your life, in your Christian journey, in your coming to church, in everything you do till this morning, you have not allowed Jesus into your heart to come and dine with you, Apostle John is telling us we should change. We should change our mind. What is the purpose of hell? Matthew 25 verse 41. It said, the place hell has been prepared for Satan and his angels. Some people think or say, God is not so wicked to put people he created in his image and likeness to hell. That's not true. Some people also think there is no hell, but we have just had a conversation, we have seen the conversation between Father Abraham and the rich man, showing that there is heaven and there is hell. So hell was prepared for Satan and his fallen angels. Imagine two people are fighting, and then A and B, and then A launches a very heavy blow aiming at B, and then C crosses in, and C happens to receive the blow. Whose fault is it? Is it A's fault? I don't think so. I think it's C's fault. God created hell for Satan and his angels to go to. So if any human being ends up in hell, it is never God's fault, but it is the person's fault. We have been given all opportunity for preachers, fellow believers, to speak to us. We don't need people to rise up from the grave to come and tell us, or people who had near misses to tell us that there is hell or there is heaven. But we have witnesses here. The scripture is full of warning. Therefore, if anybody ends up in hell, it is that person's choice. And we must look that anybody who ends in hell, according to 2 Thessalonians the verse 1, chapter 1, the verse 8, it means that the person will end up there because he has not accepted Christ. He chooses to forgo with Christ. And it is not, well, we can mention many sins that we do. Robbery, fornication, adultery, sex before marriage, killing, and all kinds of things. But the greatest sin ever is when we refuse to give our life to Christ. We are making God a liar. That will drive people to hell. So 2 Thessalonians 1:8 is saying that even though hell has been prepared for Satan and his followers, yet any human being who goes there because of his choice. And I want to give you example of people who met Jesus and their life has been transformed. One is the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, the verse 28, we can read the conversation between Jesus Christ and this Samaritan woman. The Bible tells us that this Samaritan woman was a prostitute, or changing men from one to another. So she had a life which was not pleasant to heaven, a life which heaven despised or abhors. And this woman went to the well, and at the well, while Jesus was waiting for his disciples to come back, there began the conversation. And Jesus told her what she was doing. And the woman changed. So that encounter with the Lord Jesus has transformed the woman's life. Bible says that when we are created in the form of an image of God, according to Genesis chapter 1, the verse 26-27, we have God's glory on us, like we put on our clothing. You know, when it's winter, we all put on mantle, jacket, and things to prevent the cold. So when God created us, he knows that Satan is in the world, and he created us in his image, having put on us his glory. But sin removes that glory. Romans chapter 3, the verse 23 says that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So whenever sin comes to our life, whenever we sin, God's glory with which we are covered with is taken off. That gives chance to Satan to torment our life. That is an open door for Satan to visit us. But the only way to get that back is when we encounter Jesus Christ. So this woman's life might have been tormented. Take this man and he doesn't like, she goes for another. And then jumping from man to man. But she was never satisfied until she met Jesus. Satisfaction does not come in the things we do. The houses, the cars, the job we do, the food we eat, they don't give us happiness or no satisfaction. But the encounter with the Lord Jesus does. You might have had brokenheartedness. Somebody might have visited you with a flower pot. Within few minutes, you'll be happy, smiling. And then another seconds, you are gone, confused, discouraged, despair. But when real Jesus comes to your heart, within that moment of heartbrokenness, that changed the situation. So we don't seek joy in things that does not last, but we seek joy in things that last. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is forever. He is eternal. He doesn't die. Therefore, when he comes into our heart, that eternal life is within us because we have the eternal man within us. And also, one step of having eternal life within us is when, after we are giving our life to Christ, we get baptized. Because when you believe someone, you follow him. You see, many occasions, you get down maybe to the street, you say you are going to city center, and you ask which bus goes there. Someone will tell you the bus number. You join the bus without checking the bus driver's license, whether he knows how to drive. We come to this church, we sit down without checking if this chair will let us fall. We take our clothes from the wardrobe or wherever without checking if any part is torn to expose us on the street. That means we have a kind of assurance in these things that when we have them, life will be okay. That driver will be able to drive you to where you are going. The chair, you'll be able to sit down with your weight without falling. The clothes, you'll be able to go out without anybody seeing your private part. That's kind of faith we put in those things. Why not put our better faith in Christ Jesus, who will never let us down? Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says that when we are baptized in Christ, we put on Christ as garment. It means God's glory returns to us. That which was removed by sin now returns to us. Many occasions we say we are Christians, we come to church, but the question is, have we honestly given the 100% of our life to Christ? The best test of if we have honestly given our life to Christ fully is when trials comes, when troubles come, when affliction comes. Another man who had his life transformed when he met Jesus was the Ethiopian Enoch in Acts chapter 8, the verse 35 and 36. He went to Jerusalem for religious festival, meaning in his mind he believes he's a Christian or he knows the Lord. But not. It was when he was returning, reading the Bible, that he had an encounter with the Lord after Philip was sent to meet him to explain. How much do we do with the word of God? The word of God is Jesus. The word of God is God's own breath, according to 2 Timothy 3. So having that encounter, Ethiopian Enoch said, "This is water. I am not moving a step further without having been baptized." My question is, how long have you been in the church? How long have you been following Christians? Are you baptized? If you believe in someone, you follow. You join that bus because you believe the bus driver was taking you to where you want to go. Jesus will take us to the right destination. So if he got baptized, we should be baptized. Because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, Jesus walked about 16 miles to Jordan to be baptized. We have here even where you can be baptized. If you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ without being baptized, I think you are none of his. Because you are following the master in a hypocrisy. You are not doing what he has done. You are not putting your feet into his footsteps. The footprints are glare for us to see. Therefore, an encounter with the Lord Jesus should cause you to get baptized. And that is another transformation. Another person is Paul, Apostle Paul, that time he was Saul. And before he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was so zealous for his faith, what he believed in. It's not because he was so educated, he was a lawyer. But he actually thought you're doing the work of God. Your zeal alone in the house of God is not enough to get you to heaven. But your encounter with Jesus will get you there. So Saul in Acts chapter 9 had an encounter with the Lord. So the Bible says that our righteous acts are like the filthy rags before the Lord. So even though you might be the first person to be here every Sunday, attend all church meetings and come and pray, but you have not made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, This is all zero. So what the Lord is expecting us to do today, you and I, to check our life if we have committed to Christ. If we have declared that Christ is our Lord and Savior, invited Him into our life. Because people who have seen Him, people who touched Him, people who heard Him, they are witnessing to you and I today that we may be transformed, we may be changed, so as to escape the hellfire that we saw. Further down the road, how do we escape eternal life? Eternal life is in Christ. Imagine someone is giving you a phone, and that phone, one of two phones, one of them has a chip, 3G chip, and another had Vodafone chip. And he places them on the table, and he said, whenever you choose the one with Vodafone chip, then you belong to the group. And you go ahead and choose the one with 3G chip, it means you can't belong. Eternal life is in Christ. Death and hell is in Satan. So we have two of these people put before us to choose. The choice we make today, the decision we arrive today, will determine whether we belong to Jesus' group or hellfire. And in the book of Revelation, the Revelation 5:9, the Bible declares that the blood of Jesus has so much power to save the world. And no matter how sinful we are, the blood of Jesus has power enough to buy us back from the slavery market. If you enter a shop and you want to buy a watch, and the watch is so expensive, let me just use a figure. Let's say £5,000 watch. It's so much. But to give away £5,000 and take that watch, it means you value that watch more than the money at hand. God gave His Son Jesus Christ out in exchange for you and I. It means He valued us more. So on the cross, when Jesus was crying, "Abba, Father," God did not look there because He had sinners clothes. That was the divine exchange that took place. So when we give our life to Christ, it means we are accepting what God has done. That valuable, that risk that Jesus or God the Father took. So Revelation 5:9 says, the blood of Jesus has power to save men from all tribes, all races, all ethnic groups, all over the world. Meaning, the 7.5 billion people on earth today, if each and every one of us will give our life to Christ, there is enough room in heaven to contain us. If it has taken God 6 days to create this world and rest there on the seventh day, but Jesus is going to heaven to prepare a place for us, and it's more than 2,000 years, that begins to tell us that heaven is well prepared than this earth that we are glorying in. It is a place of joy. Bible says the streets are made up of gold. Most often, what women cherish is their golden ring and chains and things. So when the world is actually putting price in the world market on gold, we don't need to rush, because the streets where we are going to walk on will be made up of gold. But we have to choose. Our life should not be determined by things that does not last. So in Romans chapter 10, the verse 9 and 10, the only way for which we can get Jesus into our life is not by walking through this door every day. It's not by having a pastor being your best friend. It's not by being a preacher's son or daughter. It's not by buying the instrument for the music ministry. It's not by contributing huge. If you contribute to the welfare of the church, that's good. You are helping a good cause. I'm not saying it's bad. But I'm saying those things does not amount to you getting to heaven successfully. But what amounts to getting to heaven successfully is when you open your mouth. The Bible says, Romans 10, 9, and 10, that with the mouth confession is made. So in Isaiah 1, the verse 18, even if your sin is so big, so huge, no matter how it is, this very moment, if we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to forgive. But He can only forgive when we surrender. You know, so just when they are fighting and in war, and then they see that they either run out of ammunition or the enemy has overpowered them, they will raise their hands up. If you have never done that in your life, and to open up, confess Jesus as the Son of God, you must do that today. You need to do that today. Just saying it in your mind is not enough. You must open your mouth as I'm communicating to you. Confess Him. Declare Jesus is your Lord. For even Satan and his angels to hear. The fallen angels. Jude 6. Bible says that when the angels sin, God locked some of them up. But He didn't lock Satan and his angels. So they are here troubling us, tempting us every day, causing trouble here and there. Those that were locked, I believe they might have been wicked as Satan. But the Bible says that in Hebrews 2, not the angels He helped. God didn't help the angels. When they sinned, He could have allowed Jesus to die for them. But He didn't help them. But for the sins of you and I, God sent Jesus. What a price. What a price. Very heavy. Please think about it. We have done so much. We have fallen with Him. We did all kinds of things. We don't deserve it. Most often when you have a problem with somebody and you know you are right, you feel you are right, you don't call the person to reconcile. That's what we do. We want the person to come and apologize. Is that not true? But we have sinned against God the Father, the creator of this universe, who created us in His image and likeness. He loves us so much. Part of Him is in us. But when we sin and turn away, we don't like what He has done to us. But He turned around, coming back to us. Tell me if that is not love. When Judas betrayed Jesus Christ and got Him arrested in that place, in that garden, Judas kissed Him so that the people will know that He's the man. But Jesus turned and called Him friend. Can we do that? We need such a man in our life to change us, to transform us, to help us to forgive, to help us to live a godly life, a Christ-like character. We cannot when we don't have. We can't do it on our own. There are things we want to do, we are not able to do. Things we don't want to do, those are the things we are doing. You cannot win the battle with that attitude. We cannot succeed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So we need Christ in us so as to do the will of God. We need Christ in us so as to live that righteous life. We need Christ in us so that as to walk without blame before the living God. This morning, my message is simple. If you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, opening your mouth, confessing Him, this is another chance. There is no shy in it. Because Ethiopian Enoch was such a big man, driving in chariot. Jesus never rode in chariot. He always walked. The only time we saw him riding on a mule was when he was going to Jerusalem. And sometimes in a boat. So this man, the Ethiopian Enoch, in those days, according to the terms, was rich, was highly respected. But he noted that it is worth giving his life to Christ and never to return to Ethiopia the same. Is it not worth surrendering to Christ and never to return to your house the same? We came here together this morning, but probably you don't know the Lord. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hell is real. Heaven is also real. Please don't go to hell. When you don't go to heaven, we don't blame Jesus, because he has played his part. What part are we playing? What are we supposed to do? I've just told you. Apostle John has just confirmed to us that there is a need. Don't be troubled that people are here. Don't feel shy that people are here or people are seeing you. It is better. God said, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Lord. This is no public disgrace. This is no public shame, brethren. Beloved, if you have never done so in your life, the door is open. We're going to see the last one. And please come forward. We will lead you to accept Christ. This might be a bit awkward, as I know this church does. But within my heart, I believe that we should give people that opportunity today. Not to be done in secrecy, because I wouldn't feel shy for being called a Christian. I don't feel shy when they identify me with Christians. You know, when we talk about certain, you know, my skin is dark, but I'm among a lot of white here. I don't feel shy. God made me to be here is Christ. It's Christ who makes a difference. Christ brought us together. Christ broke the barrier. The boundary must be broken today. There are certain things in our life which must be broken by Christ. Christ alone. Nothing else. Not our parents. Not our prime minister. Not even the queen. Not even the United Secretary General. Nobody. Not even the doctor. What doctors could not do, Jesus can do. Shall we be on our feet even as we sing the last song?